Well, good morning and welcome to all, particularly our guests who join us here today for the offering of this Sunday Mass at the Madeleine. Thank you for making part of your 4th of July holiday weekend being here at the Madeleine for Mass today. You're always welcome to join us in the future. Tomorrow we will have Mass on Independence Day at 10 a.m. in the chapel. The chapel will open up at 9 a.m. and we will have a holy hour with the Blessed Sacrament present on the altar. So all are welcome to come and to pray for our nation, making those prayers, that Mass, part of our Independence Day celebration before you go off for the cookouts and the fireworks. And so all are welcome to that as well. Please know I will be available to hear confessions this coming Tuesday evening from 6 to 7, on Wednesday from 5 to 6. There's also a special event next Saturday evening at Holy Family Cathedral. It's a chili dinner to raise funds for their choir to go on a special trip to sing at Carnegie Hall in New York City later this year. It's from 6:30 to 9 in the evening. There should be information about that on one of the bulletin boards in our hallway. Well, in case you haven't got the word, we have a new bishop, ordained and installed as the 4th bishop of Tulsa this last Wednesday, Bishop David Kondrla. What a happy day it was. And what a happy to be Catholic event it was as well. My thanks to those of you from this parish that were able to attend. Our parish seemed to represent pretty well. And also there are others who watched it on live stream, who couldn't be there. There is a video in the works that will be released at a later time. It is a new beginning for us. We pray for our new pastor, our new shepherd. He is offering Mass today at St. John's Parish in Bartlesville. So he wants to make the rounds to visit all the parishes within this next year. So when we get on the rotation, we will let you know. Now, if you were there at the ordination or you watched it live streaming, you saw that I had the honor of being one of the attendants to Bishop Kondrla. My official title for that event was Presbyteral Assistant to the Bishop-Elect, which is basically meant I was kind of a nice piece of tapestry that didn't have to do a whole lot, but as someone said, better to be a piece of tapestry than a cheap iron-on on a T-shirt or something like that. Now, I was selected for this role not because of by chance. We didn't do draw straws or random choice. It was because under Bishop Slattery, I had been serving as the vicar for priest. And the other attendant was Father Elkin Gonzalez, who had been the vicar general. And Bishop Kondrla has reappointed both of us to these positions. It meant that I processed in with and sat next to the bishop-elect. And I have got to tell you, in all honesty, I would have preferred that someone else had that job. My first thought when I was asked to do this was that it should be one of his priest friends from his home diocese in Austin to have that position. However, it was explained to me quite clearly that it had to be two priests from the diocese to which he was going to be ordained a bishop. And I would have much rather had preferred to process in with the 100-plus other priests for the Mass and to sit somewhere on the eighth row and to simply blend in to the scenery. So if you saw some pictures of me, if you weren't there, and by the way, thank you to the Tulsa World. There are some pictures online or on social media that have made my mom quite happy. See her son, the priest, featured so prominently. And my sister sent me a message. She said, why didn't you smile? And I sent a message back. I said, well, you know, because I wasn't all that excited about being so close to the center of attention, which probably explains a somewhat serious look on my face, at least through the first part of the ordination. But then I remembered what I had preached about here last Sunday, about the challenge to getting out of your comfort zone in being a faithful disciple, to taking up the cross and following Jesus. And my zone of comfort for bishop's ordination is somewhere up back on that eighth row, not sitting next to him. But then I began to see that what I was being asked to do was step out of that place of safety and act as a representative on the behalf of the people of this diocese, as well as the priests and the deacons, to receive our new bishop. That's what had been entrusted to me. So I became more relaxed as things went on. But I was still relieved I didn't have to say anything. I had no speaking role. All I had to do was sit or stand there and stay quiet, which I did. That's what was been entrusted to me, to help to welcome our new shepherd. And we are all entrusted with things, be it in our families, be it in our schools, be it within our workplace, be it within our neighborhoods. But most importantly, as disciples, as the church, we're entrusted to do, to be what Jesus has given us, what he's entrusted to us on the day of our baptism. Especially as he continues to tell us in today's gospel reading to further instruct us in the lessons of discipleship. What it means to pick up the cross, what it means to be a disciple, what it means to be his church. We hear him today beginning by appointing 72 disciples to go out and to prepare his for every place he's going to go, wherever he's going to visit, to prepare the way. They think of them as they're the advance team. Going to do the prep work, lay the foundation. Now, that number 72 is not a random number. Now, some translations tell us that it's 70, others 72. I let the biblical scholars fight that out as the exact number. But for the church's liturgy, for the gospel reading today, we've gone to the 72 number. But again, it's not a random choice. The Old Testament book of Genesis speaks of the descendants of Noah establishing 72 nations, or otherwise all the nations of the earth. Number that 72. Moses, on the Exodus, appoints 72 elders to assist him. And the Sanhedrin, the group of Jewish religious leaders and scholars that will arrest and put Jesus on trial prior to his crucifixion, guess how many were in that group? 72. The number represents a universal outlook. Where then are the 72 disciples of Jesus going to prepare for the coming of Jesus? Everywhere. They're going to go everywhere. The gospel message is a universal message. It is offered, given to all who are willing to receive it. And that's one of the lessons of discipleship. And at Bishop Kundrla's ordination, we saw the universal nature of the church on display. The scripture readings and the hymns offered multiple languages. All those different people who were there, not all of them looked the same, not all of them spoke the same, but they were all there because they believe the same. Being one in Christ as the church. And remember, the word Catholic comes from a Greek word meaning universal. Only in recent times have we used it to distinguish people from different denominations and churches and so on. The message of the gospel is a universal message. We're a universal church. And today we hear Jesus use the image of the harvest in today's lesson. And the time to bring in the harvest is now. There's a sense of urgency, of living as a disciple now, to being the church now, not later, not after the 4th of July weekend, but now. And everybody, no matter how old, no matter how young, no matter how rich or poor, no matter how they look, no matter how they speak, are to be involved in one way or the other. Notice the first act of a disciple that Jesus tells them to be, what to do, is to pray. Ask the master of the harvest. That's what he's talking about. Not everybody can be, nor should be, a missionary going off to the far side of the world, but each and every one of us can pray. Can pray for guidance. Can pray for strength. Pray for wisdom. And to ensure that it is God's will that we are doing as disciples and not our own. Now, some of you may know this, but one of our former pastors here at the Madeleine, Monsignor Daniel Muggenberg, is in the process of writing a book. And if you know him, you know he's got the drive-in energy of 10 priests plus 2, so this isn't really a big surprise. What he's doing, he is writing a commentary or reflections on the gospel readings for Sunday Mass for the entire three-year cycle. And in reflecting upon Jesus sending out the 72 disciples, he sees that there are three basic aspects to their mission and our mission as the church today. And that is building a community, another is taking care of people's physical needs, and the other is deepening their faith lives. Building up or being part of a community is the sign of being a disciple. Disciples can't be lone rangers. We can't be independent contractors. Our lives of faith, our prayer, our right worship that we offer together at this Mass today are to be shared with others. That we are saying that there is something larger than ourselves. We saw that also on display at the ordination. That's why it was such a happy to be Catholic moment. It is entrusted to us to live this way. No matter how challenging, no matter how time consuming, no matter how messy, and messy it can get. On Thursday, I had a meeting with Deacon Kevin Sartorius and some of his assistants at Catholic Charities. He's the director of Catholic Charities here in Tulsa, just a few miles up the road here. And one of the things that we talked about was the temptation to try to fix people when they come to us for help, whether it's at Catholic Charities or whether it's here at the Madeleine. Remember that we have a lot of foot traffic going up Harvard, and there is a mental health facility across the street. And there are people who walk through the door here almost on a daily basis needing some kind of assistance. And our social concerns committee, they set aside one afternoon a week to help people needing assistance for rent and utilities and so on. The temptation is to see such persons as problems to be fixed instead of people to be helped, people to be loved. If you were there at the ordination, if you saw it live streamed, you remember that message that was read by the papal nuncio to Pope Francis, to Bishop Condrilla? You know, the one got interrupted by everybody from Texas A&M. Apparently, you mentioned Texas A&M, you're supposed to go, whoop! And we had several thousand people do that together, and the nuncio was kind of like, oh. You know, they don't do that in France, where he's from, but he rolled with it. He kind of, you know, he did okay. But remember that message from Pope Francis to our bishop. He said that remember, behind every phone call, behind every letter, behind every email, behind every message, there is a person. There is a brother or sister. And I have to admit, at times of experience, deep frustration, realizing that try as I may, some people can't be fixed. We know what they need to do to better their lives, for example, to get a GED so they can get a better job, that they need to allow this group or that program to help them and so on and so on. But not everybody can do that. Not everybody will do that. Even if we know that it is for their own good. As strange as it may sound, there are rare cases in which there are some who find it easier to live underneath a bridge than to live under a normal roof. The frustration is having to realize that not all problems are to be solved. Not everyone who is sick gets well. And Deacon Sartorius reminded me that in such cases, Pope Francis encourages us simply to accompany or to walk with such persons. Not to abandon them when we realize we can't fix them, but to continue to walk with them as disciples of the Lord instead of trying to fix them, no matter how messy, no matter how frustrating it may be. This has been entrusted to us as disciples. And that's why Jesus cautions the 72 disciples not to be concerned about their personal comfort, including the desire to sit on the eighth row and blend into the scenery. Nor are we to pursue our own self-agendas, such as I'm here to fix the problem. It is the gospel that guides us. not our own self-interest. And when we are able to see some of the fruits of our discipleship, and whether or not we find out the demons are subject to us in the name of Jesus, we should rejoice. Not in our own efforts, but as St. Paul the Apostle puts it, in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to rejoice that we've been entrusted with the role of disciples, regardless if it appears that we're having any success or whether it seems that we are failing. Regardless whether that witness is accepted or whether it is rejected. This is the call of being a disciple. This is the call of being His church. And as we come before this altar to receive the gift of Christ again in the Eucharist, let this be our boast. Let this be our hope.